Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the 20th video of the Old Testament Survey course. In this video, we'll examine the biblical book of Ruth. We'll start with some background issues. First is the author of the book of Ruth. The book is technically anonymous, so we don't know who wrote it. But whoever it was, they were a masterful storyteller, because this book is a literary masterpiece. The way it tells the story brilliantly highlights its theological message. So in a bit, we'll look at the story that this book tells, but we'll also look at the way it tells the story to see more clearly the point it is making and what we should learn from it. Now, let's talk about the place of the book of Ruth in the Bible. In the English book order that you're used to, Ruth comes right after the book of Judges, because the events of Ruth happened during the time of the Judges. Ruth describes a pocket of faithfulness during unfaithful times. And this book bridges the historical gap between the Judges and the monarchy of King David that we'll see in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. And in the Hebrew Bible, which you might remember has the same books, but sometimes in a different order, the book of Ruth comes after the book of Proverbs. Now, what do you think is the significance of this? We haven't yet surveyed Proverbs, but you might know that it ends in chapter 31 with the poem of the virtuous wife, also known as the woman of valor. So you would read about the Proverbs 31 woman, and then the next thing that you would read in the Hebrew Bible is the book of Ruth. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. Ruth is a concrete illustration of the Proverbs 31 woman of virtue. And then in the Hebrew Bible, Ruth is followed by the Song of Solomon. And I'll let you connect those dots for yourselves. A significant purpose of this book is that it looks forward to and prepares the way for King David. This is the story of God providentially preparing for the birth of David. However, as with all biblical narratives, God is the ultimate hero of this book. It is not just about Ruth's working in character, but it is about God's working in character. So the point of this book is not just to imitate Ruth or Boaz in their faithfulness, which we should do, but the main point is to see God's working and to stand in awe of God and to trust God in our own lives because we have seen how he has been faithfully working out his plan in history. Now, let's shift to talk about the organization of this book. The outline of Ruth, like Exodus and Numbers, is built around the changes of the physical setting. The story basically takes place in four main locations. And in Ruth, the locations are not only the actual places where the events took place, but they also have symbolic significance. And in Ruth, the four locations correspond to the four chapter breaks. In the first chapter, they go to the country of Moab and later come back to the Promised Land. They move away from the Promised Land full, but go back to the Promised Land empty. And yet, Ruth comes to the Promised Land for the first time. Chapter 2 takes place gleaning in the fields around Bethlehem. This is a place of working for fruitfulness. And chapter 3 takes place at the threshing floor, the place of the harvest, the place of enjoying that fruitfulness. And finally, in chapter 4, redemption takes place at the city gate, which is the place of decision and legal finality. Now we'll look at the content of the book. Here are some key verses of Ruth. First is Ruth 1:16 through 17, which says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May Yahweh deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me.'" This passage describes the conversion of Ruth. She was leaving her people and gods and committing to the people and God of Israel. She confessed that Yahweh would be her God, and she even took her oath in the name of Yahweh. The next key verse is Ruth 2:3, and it says, "So Ruth went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Now, you might be thinking, why is this a key verse? Well, in the big picture of the story, an apparently random event of going to this particular field put her in the place to meet Boaz, who will play a big part in the rest of the book. And the significance is in the phrase translated, as it turned out. By the way the author phrased this, by the language he used, it is very clearly implied that this was not a random event. Kind of like, as it turned out, as it so happened to take place, wink, wink. You see, in this way, the author points out that God's fingerprints are all over this seemingly random event. God was working in the lives of Ruth and Naomi beyond what they could have imagined. And next is Ruth 2, verses 10 through 12. After Ruth had met Boaz and he was gracious to her, then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May Yahweh repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by Yahweh, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Now, this passage is confirmation of Ruth's conversion and character in the words of Boaz. And this is based on what she had done for her mother-in-law. And it's also a pronouncement of blessing on her because she had been faithful and because she had taken refuge with the Lord. God will repay her, blessing with blessing, just like the promise given to Abraham. And then Ruth 3:11, where Boaz said, "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character." In this verse, Boaz promises to redeem Ruth and Naomi's family, but he also publicly acknowledges that she is a woman of noble character. This is a word regularly used to describe significant people, often translated as a person of valor or a virtuous person. And earlier in this book, Boaz himself was described as a man of noble character. So Ruth is now addressed as having the same social status as him. And notice how her status grows throughout the story by the titles she is given. She started off as the Moabite, and then she was called Naomi's daughter-in-law. And then she was called a woman of noble character. And at the end of the book, she was compared to the mothers of Israel, to Rachel and Leah and Tamar. She's been promoted to the highest status as a result of her conversion to Yahweh and his people. And finally, Ruth 4:14, where it says, "The woman said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel.'" Now, this passage brings closure to one of the threads of the story. Naomi had earlier complained that God had forsaken and forgotten her. God's character was doubted and tested in Naomi's life. But by the end of the story, the whole town proclaimed that the Lord had come through big time. God had not left her without a redeemer to restore all that she had lost and more. And they prayed that her redeemer would be famous, which came true. So now let's walk through the plot of the book of Ruth. In the first scene, Naomi moved to Moab and then returned. She moved away from the promised land with her husband and two sons. They were trying to find a better life in Moab, away from a famine in the land. But symbolically, leaving the promised land is always bad. Her two sons then each married a Moabite woman, and then her husband and later both of her sons died, leaving Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. Then Naomi started back to the promised land. because it says she heard that God had visited Israel, in the sense that he had put his attention on them to end the famine. And when she got there, she told people to no longer call her Naomi, which means pleasant, but she said they should call her Mara, which means bitter. She complained that God had forsaken her, which kind of looks like what had happened if we stop the story there. And on the way out of Moab, she had told her daughters-in-law to leave her and go back to their families. Orpah left Naomi and went back, but Ruth refused to go back. She went beyond what was socially required and remained devoted to her mother-in-law. She committed to her new people and her new God. And the next scene took place in the grain fields. Ruth and Naomi needed a way to support themselves, so Ruth went into the fields to glean behind the harvesters. Now, gleaning is an ancient manner of charity for the poor. The farmer did not harvest all the field, but left some for the poor to pick up. And by the way, this is actually a great lesson for modern charity. It demonstrates a middle ground between just giving welfare, which robs people of initiative and dignity, and just abandoning them to fend for themselves. It makes people responsible for their own well-being, but also provides a way for this to be possible. It's an old cliche, but still wise, that the church should give a hand up and not a hand out. So Ruth went out to the field to glean, and she just happened, wink, wink, to go to a field owned by Boaz. As she would find out later, Boaz was related to Naomi's dead husband, and therefore he was in a position to help them by the law of redemption by a kinsman, which I'll describe in a minute. Boaz showed Ruth favor, gave her grain, and protected her. Naomi then heard about this and rejoiced. Then is the next section, which took place mostly at the threshing floor. Naomi took it upon herself to play matchmaker, to find a place for Ruth, and she planned a setup for Ruth basically to propose to Boaz. And Ruth followed the instructions that Naomi gave her. And by the way, there was nothing sleazy about what Ruth did. What she did was upright and virtuous, even if it was a bit forward and bold. And Boaz responded favorably. He promised to do what Ruth asked. He assured her that he would take care of them because Ruth had proven herself to be a faithful woman of virtue. But Boaz also mentioned another kinsman who was a closer relative and who therefore needed to be given a chance to redeem first. Now, as an aside, I do need to mention a few things that will help us understand what is going on in this story, particularly as related to the idea of a kinsman redeemer. First, this and the next chapter are referring to the commands mentioned in Genesis chapter 38, and especially in Deuteronomy chapter 25, about the requirement of a brother to take care of his brother's widow. And there are commands in Leviticus chapter 25 about the family purchasing or buying back the property of a poor relative so that the land stays in the family. These were principles from God for the family to take care of those who risked being destitute. And second, in Ruth, the person who took care of the widow was called the Redeemer, and what he did was called redeeming. This is a word that often means buying back, but here it shades toward the meaning of reclaiming, in the sense of reclaiming from childlessness and poverty. The Redeemer paid the price so that the person would be taken care of. So the kinsman in the story was required to pay the price to take care of his relative's widow and to assure that the legacy of the dead relative would live on. Boaz said he would do it, but another closer relative had to be given the chance to do it first. And Boaz blessed Ruth and sent her to Naomi with abundant food. And then the last scene took place at the city gate, in front of all the elders, so that the decision would be official and legal. The unnamed relative was given the opportunity, but declined to help. And Boaz publicly committed to marry Ruth and take care of Naomi and her family. Then, Boaz and Ruth were married and later had a child. And it highlights how Naomi was blessed and full because of all that God had done for her. And this leads to the genealogy of David at the end of the book, because Boaz and Ruth's child would eventually be David's grandfather. And they all lived happily ever after. That is the story of Ruth. But I also promise that there is significance in the way that this story is told. So now we'll look at the theological themes of Ruth. And most of these themes are highlighted by the subtle ways that the author told the story, as I'll try to point out. The first theme is covenant faithfulness. The Hebrew word chesed is a key repeated term in this book. It's often translated kindness in Ruth in key verses like 1:8, 2:20, and 3:10. But the word means covenant faithfulness, which includes kindness, but is so much more. And this concept is not easily translated with one word or phrase. It means doing what is right towards one another according to the covenant relationship, but also delighting to do this because of an attitude of love, grace, and kindness toward that person. Now, Ruth showed this kind of faithfulness to Naomi by not leaving her. Boaz showed this kind of faithfulness to Ruth and Naomi by taking care of them. And when Boaz responded to Ruth's proposal, he said it was her covenant faithfulness to even make that suggestion. And the town of Bethlehem was noticed to be faithful in a time of unfaithfulness. But most importantly, God was faithful to his people, especially to Naomi, even when she was complaining because the promise was tested. God came through for her because he is faithful, full of chesed. In chapter 1, Naomi claimed that God had forsaken her. Yet by chapter 2, verse 20, she realized that God had not, in fact, forsaken his covenant faithfulness. And she blessed the name of the Lord for his faithfulness. And by the way, you might recall that chesed is the Hebrew word used in the famous passage in Exodus 34:6, where God revealed his name, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in chesed and faithfulness. And the second theme is faithfulness by contrast. This means covenant faithfulness, which is demonstrated by contrast with another character in the story. Orpah, the other daughter-in-law, went back to her family in Moab. Now, she did nothing wrong by going back. Remember, Naomi told her to do so. But this makes Ruth's sacrifice of faithfulness look even more heroic by comparison with the other option, which she did not take. In the same way, Boaz is shown in contrast with the unnamed relative. And this anonymous man did nothing wrong either. If he were to have married Ruth, he risked his own inheritance, and he just decided it was not worth the risk. But this highlights the faithfulness of what Boaz did for them, because he shared a similar risk. The faithfulness of these people was highlighted by the contrast with what they could have done, as demonstrated by what other people did. And the third theme is God's behind-the-scenes sovereign covenant faithfulness. God is actually rarely mentioned in the book of Ruth, and yet, in another sense, he's all over this book. In Exodus and Joshua, God showed up by parting the water and doing miracles. But there are no dramatic miracles in Ruth. However, that does not mean that God was not at work. In this story, God worked behind the scenes to perfectly bring about his purposes to bless Ruth and Naomi, and through them to bless the nation. Remember, Ruth just happened to go to a particular field owned by a man who just happened to be related to Naomi, and he just happened to take notice of her, and it was kind to her, etc. So, keep this theme in mind in your own life. Just because you don't always see God at work, that does not mean he's not working. He's always working, sometimes through the smallest things to bring about big things, because he is always faithful. And the last theme is David, This refers to King David, who is a main character in later Old Testament books. The genealogy at the end might seem like an afterthought to the story of Ruth, but it is actually one of the main reasons for this book. In the Bible, we're told the birth narrative of some key leaders, such as Moses, John the Baptist, and of course, Jesus. Well, the book of Ruth is the birth narrative of David, an apparently insignificant story of a foreigner who converted to Yahweh, leads to the greatest king of Israel, and eventually to the King of Kings. There are no small stories when God is involved. All right, those are the themes of Ruth. So now let's review. First, the organization of Ruth. Remember that Ruth is organized by the four locations, and they are to Moab and back, in the field, at the threshing floor, and at the city gate. And the four themes of Ruth, they are covenant faithfulness, contrast faithfulness, God's sovereign faithfulness, and David. Obviously, you can remember that there are three types of faithfulness, and then David. All right, that is the summary of the book of Ruth, and I hope it was both informative and inspirational. In the next section, we'll see how the story of Israel moves forward from here in the next historical book, which is 1 Samuel. And I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for watching.